Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a late February edition. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host is Brian Johnson.
What's up, Charch? It's almost like late April in Minnesota here.
Weather-wise.
Not wearing a jacket.
Okay. Well, that's just because we're used to it. I mean, around here now, because our January and February are brutal, 40 degrees is sweltering. It's
balmy.
Ridiculous. Yes, downright balmy. We're gonna go do some nude sunbathing after this. It is an exciting time for both Minnesotans and for those that love fantasy football.
Oh yeah.
Last week we did a first round mock draft to see how that was shaking out. This week decided there's still so many good players to talk to, and actually the second round far more interesting because the first round's all chalk. The second round is where you get such a huge differential of players and guys that have way more upside, downside. I'm going to talk about some of my picks in the second round that really had things just been a little bit different, could have been like top three scoring guys this year. And so just I think the second round has got way, way more just real interest in it than the chalk in the first round.
Yeah, these first two rounds seem way more loaded than past years.
Oh,
and even going into the third round, there are guys that, you know, got dogged in the second round where you're like, they could have been in the second round, but there's just not enough draft picks to go around. Too many good players. It's exciting.
I'll tip my hand on one of them right now. We are not drafting in the first two rounds Ezekiel Elliott.
No, sir.
Now, right now, it's in his very early 2020 ADPs are middle of the first round. We talked about it last week. You and I are off Zeke. And I know we're not marching to the same tune as most of the others. Most others really like Zeke, and they're doubling down on him coming off a bad year. We're not. But
good luck to them.
Yeah, by the third round, you know, at that point, I'm starting to be more interested, but still, we're not going to take him here. And
it depends who you got on roster, of course. But yeah, Zeke, third round, I'd contemplate it if I didn't have a running back.
I think that would be the scenario for me as well. But at that point, I still feel now compelled to go get Pollard as well, and that blows up my eighth round pick. So I hate it when I spend an early round pick that mandates a pick that's still an important pick for me later.
And it's a sexy pick for the non-Zeke owner, too. Pollard.
That's why I got to take him in the eighth
round. Right, you got to reach for him.
Because I'd much rather have Pollard in round eight than Zeke in round two. So somebody like me is going to go take Pollard in eight, create a problem for that owner. So anyway, let's get back to it. Now, you had the last pick of round one.
You did.
Oh, I did. Oh, so I can
show
back to
should we recap round one just real quick?
Let's do it. Yeah, go ahead.
Just went Derrick Henry first overall. I started the draft. And then Christian McCaffrey 2, Dalvin Cook 3, Davante Adams went 4th, Travis Kelce 5th, Tyreek Hill, Saquon Barkley at number 7, Alvin Kamara at 8, Jonathan Taylor, DK Metcalf at 10, and then Nick Chubb at 11, and Stephon Diggs rounded out round one.
I had really struggled on that Diggs pick. Like, there were so many good players still on the board at that point, and I really struggled. But at the end of the day, I just wanted the consistency that Stephon Diggs gives. So I went with Stephon Diggs there. And then, you know, in theory, I have the wraparound. Now, I didn't try to intentionally marry up any of my second-round picks to the first-round pick, but I don't even think you have to.
No.
I mean, at this point, you have the whole draft left. You can, you know, if you go running back, or wide receiver, or tight end, quarterback, or anything, you always have time to make up for it.
I don't think I didn't really do that either, but I don't think we ended up with running back with the first two picks anyway, even though we weren't trying to do that. And I think neither of us would want to do that going into this season, at least right now, right?
There's just so many good players at all the other positions. Okay, so first pick of the second round, I went with Aaron Jones. He finished as running back 5 last year, despite a sizable timeshare. And so get a load of this. Derrick Henry, 400 touches last year. Dalvin Cook, 360 touches. And that was your highest scoring and second highest scoring running backs.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
And catches
and rushes.
250 tops.
Nice job. 260.
260?
260 for Jones. That was it. And he still finishes running back 5.
Wow.
You know, wherever he goes, you know, he's a free agent. He wants to get paid. And if money's going to talk, he's only going to go to a team that pays him well, and the only teams that are going to pay him well are the teams that are going to make him a workhorse.
Yep.
Aaron Jones is going to land in a workhorse spot.
What is like the ideal? Okay, you're getting there.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta are two primo landing spots for him. I'll give you another one. San Francisco. Ooh. How about Seattle? If they Chris Carson's a UFA. If they decide that they're going to spend a running back and they like Aaron Jones a lot more than Chris Carson, Seattle gets really interesting.
Would Arizona be a possibility? Probably not, right? They got.
I don't think so.
Kind of Edmonds, Drake for one
Drake's,
more year.
Well, no, Drake's a UFA.
Is he okay?
So I think they're going to just go with the cheap solution they've
Chase
got
Edmonds.
On roster and Chase Edmonds, who gets to be pretty interesting if they don't re-sign Drake, by the way. And I'm sure we'll talk about him as the free agency season unfolds. Other possible spots for Aaron Jones that aren't as favorable, the Jets.
Yep.
Miami, a lot of money. I think Myles Gaskin's pretty good, but Aaron Jones is better. So maybe Miami.
As the defending champion in our Empire League, trying to take down the whole pot, I'm pretty thin at running back, and with Myles Gaskin as my basically my RB1 or David Johnson, I do not want anyone going to Miami, but I feel like they're going to get a back either in free agency or in the draft.
If Jones can be the fifth highest scoring fantasy back on 260 touches, what happens if he gets 320? You know, now he's a top three back and maybe the number one back in fantasy football, yeah, depending if he falls into the right spot. So that's Aaron Jones, my first pick of the second round. Who's the second pick of the second round?
I went with Calvin Ridley, who will be the third wide receiver. No, I'm sorry, the fifth wide receiver taken. I'm sorry, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, Stephon Diggs have gone. But then I take Calvin Ridley as the fifth wide receiver off the board as a second pick in the second round. Finished fourth in total PPR points last year, third in points per game. And when Julio went down, Ridley was a target hog. He was still able to produce without Julio on the field. But shockingly, he was more productive with Julio on the field on a points per game basis.
Doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't matter, really.
Yeah.
The only thing that really matters might be Matt Ryan, who we were dogging on a couple weeks ago, rightfully so. But Calvin Ridley, an absolute stud. He finished with the most completed air yards in 2020 with 1,095. Stephon Diggs was the only other receiver with more completed air yards. So Calvin Ridley, Atlanta's always throwing, always needing to put up points. I love Calvin Ridley this year and beyond.
Yeah. You know, there's a scenario here where Matt Ryan gets moved, but they're going to be at the top of the draft. They'll take a good quarterback, and you know, that might not be the end of the world. It wouldn't
maybe
be
they get
ideal.
Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott or Deshaun Watson. Who knows?
Right. Maybe.
The carousel is not even close to being over.
No, it's not. And you know, Atlanta might be a reasonable destination for some of those guys that can control their own destiny with their no trade clauses, like Deshaun Watson and like Russell Wilson, who have no trade clauses. So maybe that makes more sense then. All right, the third pick of the second round. I took Cam Akers. I believe Cam Akers will be soundly in the first round in most drafts as people start to realize what's coming here. On Thursday, Sean McVay called Cam Akers, quote, an every down back and, quote, a very special player.
He sure looked like one at the end of the season.
And we're going to talk about that in a second. What's more, Rams beat writers do not expect Malcolm Brown back. They're already projecting that he will not be on the team. Now, some people are going to say, yeah, but Sean McVay, you know, he uses a carousel of backs, a running back by committee. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's remember Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley in 2017 and 2018 averaged 18 carries per game. In 2017, Gurley was fantasy football's top scoring running back. In 2018, he was fantasy football's top scoring running back. Todd Gurley was a workhorse back for Sean McVay because he was good enough to earn it. Cam Akers, who Sean McVay just called a very special player, is good enough to earn it as well. In the final six Rams games, Akers averaged 22 rushes per game for 94 yards. He scored five times in those six games. Now, he didn't catch much, but he can catch. He's not brick-handed. He's not Adrian Peterson. Now, if you extrapolate his six final games of the year to a full 16 games, Brian, Akers is looking at 1,500 rushing yards, another couple hundred receiving yards and 13 touchdowns. That would have made Cam Akers RB3. Wow. Last year.
And they have Matt Stafford now, a clear upgrade at quarterback. Mm-hmm. Bodes well for everyone in that offense.
So, totally agree.
I like the pick, and he could certainly – he's worthy of a first-round pick, and we'll probably see him move up in that
range. I think he'll be a first-round pick before everything is said and done. Let's go to the fourth pick of the second round. Who are you taking?
Receivers are going to continue to fall off the board in round two, but this might not be the one you're expecting. I think A.J. Brown deserves to go with the fourth pick in the second round. Finished 10th among wide receivers in total PPR points, 5th in points per game, because he only had 106 targets last year. That is not a lot.
Yeah.
That is like 30th most, or like he's tied with people, but like top 20, bottom 20, I should say. He was 4th in yards per route run. Essentially, when given the ball, he made things happen, especially in the red zone, where with fewer targets in the red zone, he had the same amount of red zone touchdowns, 7, as Calvin Ridley and Keenan Allen, and more red zone touchdowns than Darren Waller, Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, Stephon Diggs, and Allen Robinson, who had significantly more targets in the red zone. So
yeah.
A.J. Brown, just a beast. He's going into his third year, believe. And that's
he's so good.
The magic year for wide receivers. And Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith,
both free agents. Yeah, both
those
free
two
agents
combined for 24 red zone targets and 12 red zone touchdowns. A new offensive coordinator in Todd Downing, who's a little more pass friendly than the previous OC, A.J. Brown. If he gets in that 150 target range, wide receiver one upside, without a doubt.
Yeah, I talked to Todd Downing today on the radio.
Really?
Enough. Yes, wow. I did, as coincidentally, and we talked about Jonnu, as you can imagine.
I'm sure you did.
And Corey Davis, both free agents. He loves both guys. You know, coaches never say bad things about their players, and I didn't expect him to say anything that was going to get him in trouble, but I'm sure he'd love to have both guys back if he could. I'm excited for Jonnu because as his former position coach, now turned offensive coordinator, Todd Downing could do a lot for Jonnu if he wants to.
So he could stay, Jonnu?
He could stay.
Hopefully he does.
We'll see. I hope so. I hope so, too. All right, let's go to – and by the way, A.J. Brown's great. And I think he's good. He's so physical, he could easily be a goal line receiving target instead. You know, of course, Derrick Henry's always going to be your number one goal line option in that offense. But I could see him getting a ton of goal line looks, A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown might be my number one wide receiver in Dynasty, and if you're in a startup year.
Yeah. I think I'd still lean Tyreek Hill. Well, you said wide receiver, right?
Yeah. DK Metcalf.
Oh, Metcalf. Sorry. I heard McCaffrey.
Yeah, no.
DK Metcalf. As long as Russell Wilson's there, DK Metcalf might be next, but it's right there. He's right in that conversation. All right, so the fifth pick of the second round, I took Austin Ekeler. Now, this is about the same ADP that he had last year, and obviously he lost his season to a brutal hamstring injury that cost him half of the year. But remember, he's one season removed from 1,400 yards, 92 receptions, and 11 touchdowns. And last year, Austin Ekeler actually improved his yards per carry by half a yard. The Chargers offense is going to hit 2021 in many ways in stride because Justin Herbert will have been on the team. He'll come in as the lock starter. They'll likely have an improved offensive line because it's been bad for a decade, and they got to put more effort into that offensive line. I think they will. Their new offensive coordinator, though, is what I'm really excited about, Joe Lombardi. He spent four seasons in New Orleans making Alvin Kamara a centerpiece of this offense.
Wow.
And who's probably your closest comparable in the NFL to Alvin Kamara?
Austin Ekeler.
Austin Ekeler.
And he's built like a house, too, unlike Kamara.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a little more physical. Yeah. He's shorter, but he's a little more physical. Yep. And, you know, that's why I still remain very high in Ekeler. I think you're going to be able, you could probably get him lower than the fifth pick of the second round, but I think you'll be glad you took him here. Let's go to the sixth pick of the second round.
Receiver again, and it's time for DeAndre Hopkins to get picked. Pretty much a first-round pick last year. Kind of a down year last year. He was still a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah.
There were only 10 wide receivers to post 5 or more wide receiver 1 week. So that's a top 12 receiver, and this doesn't include week 17, which you shouldn't be using if you're playing fantasy football, of course. And those 10 wide receivers, only Devontae Adams had more wide receiver 1 weeks than DeAndre Hopkins, who had 8, and Adams had 9. And I was kind of surprised by that. I didn't think he was that consistent. So Christian Kirk likely gone. Not like he was much of a threat. I think he's a free agent this year, but I don't really care. But DeAndre Hopkins is pretty sound, safe floor with still a ton of upside.
How many people have ever regretted drafting DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, not many.
Like, nobody ever? Nope. So, middle of the second round makes a lot of sense.
I'd like to see Kyler Murray take another step in his progression as a pro quarterback. So, yeah, Hopkins probably be better off than last year, one would hope.
We're halfway through the second round. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's go through picks 7 through 12. I know that you're probably listening thinking, where is this particular guy? Well, he could be coming up next, along with the first appearance of some rookies coming up. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchin and Brian Johnson with you. We're working our way through the second round of our mock draft. If you missed the first round, that was last week. Obviously, you can podcast that. Go get the first round. The players we took in there in the first round, way more chalk. You know, Derrick Henry went, and Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, and all the usual names. Second round is just so much more intriguing. So many more different ways to approach players in the second round. We gave you the first 6 picks in the first segment. Let's talk about picks 7 through 12. I am going with Michael Thomas at pick 7.
I remember him.
You remember him, right?
Yeah.
This is last season's ADP. He was pick 5 of the first round, pick 5 overall. Obviously, everything pretty much went wrong for him and from an injury standpoint last season. Came back towards the end of the year. And it goes without saying that Michael Thomas is really, really good. He's 1 year removed from being by far the highest scoring fantasy receiver in the league. Yeah. Just 1 year removed.
Like 15 targets a game, basically.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
I think it was 1,700 receiving yards.
Yeah, insane.
And yes, okay. So the quarterback, though, is a lot of why he's where he is right now. Although, Drew Brees has not filed his retirement papers yet.
He has not.
You know, for whatever reason, he hasn't done it yet. So, let's say the worst case scenario is Taysom Hill, that they just got to go to war with Taysom Hill. So let's look at the 4 games Michael Thomas played with Taysom Hill, if that's our worst case scenario.
And not at 100% either.
Yeah, good point. Right. He was dragging one leg along. Yeah. His average game under Taysom Hill was 8 receptions, 86 yards. Now, he didn't score because Taysom Hill just isn't that polished of a passer. But still, 8 receptions for 86 yards. Extrapolate that to 16 games, and Michael Thomas's Taysom Hill games would have stretched out into making him wide receiver 2 in receptions and wide receiver 5 in yards.
Yeah.
And the touchdowns would come, at least to some degree. So he would have been sitting on last year, as when everything went wrong and Taysom Hill was his quarterback, he still would have been a fantasy producer. The Saints are a desirable landing spot for a lot of elite quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. These are landing places they will go because this is a Super Bowl ready team.
Oh, so Deshaun Watson goes to the Saints.
Oh God.
Oh yeah.
Think of it.
I mean, that's got to vault Thomas into
the first round.
Yeah, he's the 3rd wide receiver after Adams and Hill.
At that point you could definitely get there. I'm taking Thomas at pick 7 of the second round. All right, it's pick 8 of the second round. Who are you taking?
All right, it's rookie time. It's time for the first rookie to get drafted, and this isn't a clear-cut decision. I thought it would be a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
And that's Najee Harris or a couple of the running backs. We'll probably talk about at least one of them in the remainder of this podcast. But I'm still going to go with Najee Harris, 6'2", 230, just an absolute monster.
What he is. Jeez.
But he's not just a north-south bruiser.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
If you watch him play, he can juke, he can hurdle, he can do it all. Like a Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson skill set in that regard.
I think the better comparable is Saquon Barkley, who is bigger back with unbelievable flexibility. Ability and balance.
One comp I like too is Matt Forte, a bigger Matt Forte in his prime, because Najee Harris is a very good pass catcher.
He is a really good pass catcher.
He's got bell cow potential written all over him. Of course, landing spot matters. We don't know where that is until the draft occurs in a couple months. But Pittsburgh is also interested in him. They've visited with him, and it makes sense that they're like in the mid-20s. That would be a good time to take Najee. But the most rushing touchdowns in college football last year, just rushing 26 in 13 games. If he gets 15, 20 touches a game, he'll live up to this ADP and maybe even around 1 ADP.
You cracked the seal at rookie running backs in pick 8 of the second round. I went with there's a 1A and 1B in college running backs, rookie running backs. Pick 9, I took Travis Etienne from Clemson. He's the leading rusher in ACC history, 5,000 rushing yards. I think you took the right guy from a fantasy football standpoint. I think Harris is a better prospect than ETN.
But at least in year one. In year one.
And right. Not knowing where they're going to land.
Right.
But I love Harris as a goal line back. I think ETN can be a goal line back, but I don't know for sure because he's got that leaner build. He's very muscular on that build, but it is a leaner build. He's so fast. North-South especially. ETN is a freaking track star. The amazing acceleration. He's got good balance. So, you know, a lot of times you'll find track stars that just, they can't take a hit. They can't bounce off anybody. They can't navigate traffic. He can do all of that stuff. Surprising strength despite the lean build that I mentioned before. He can break some tackles, and he has good hands. Not great hands, good hands. I think Harris has better hands, too. So I've got him next as the ninth pick. We'll find out where he goes and if that gets validated. I think Harris has a better chance of going in the first round than ETN does, but ETN should go early to mid-second round, I believe.
Now, I'm not there yet, and he's not going to get mentioned in our round two mock here, but Javonte Williams out of North Carolina is getting some steam as the should be the RB1 among rookies, but we'll see about that.
We'll see.
But yeah, I like the Harris ETN 1A, 1B, like you said. All right, no more rookies for me. We are at the 10th pick, I believe, right?
Correct.
The second round?
Yep, 10th pick.
And more wide receivers are going to fall off. There's about only a couple very elite ones left, and in his second year, Justin Jefferson is one of those wide receivers. I mentioned the completed air yards earlier when talking about Calvin Ridley. Justin Jefferson, as a rookie, was fourth in that regard, only behind Ridley, Diggs, and Allen Robinson. Just an absolute home run pick by the Vikings. Probably one of my favorite clips of 2022 is draft night. They weren't in the war room together because that was peak quarantine, of course. But when you had Zimmer and Spielman and whoever else, you know, in their Zoom call, and when the Eagles took Jalen Reagor in their eyes.
And the Vikings started cheering.
Yeah, it was just like total fantasy football.
It
like,
really was, wasn't it?
Like the anti-snipe. Yeah. You think you're going to get sniped and you don't, and you're just so excited. And
man, did the Vikings have that one figured out. Holy cow.
Yeah, they did. And yeah.
Jefferson a historic season for rookie receivers, breaking the modern-day yardage record for rookie receivers in a season.
Yeah, just the complete package. I don't really think I need to justify the pick any more than that. Justin Jefferson should be a lock.
You took him before Adam Thielen. And Thielen was more of the touchdown guy this year, but I think you're making the assumption that Justin Jefferson's on an early trajectory that makes him better than Thielen.
I would think so.
Yeah, and Thielen's really good. Yeah. Yep. All right. My final pick of the second round was Miles Sanders, and I had George Kittle here, and I had planned on taking Kittle. And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what? Let me just dig a little more into Sanders' season and refresh my memory on Sanders' season. And I ended up changing it back to Sanders. Here's why. He's finished so far as running back 20 and running back 22 the last 2 years. That puts him right about where I'm picking him here anyway. But so many things have gone wrong for him, and he still finished as 20 and 22. He is at injuries, running back by committee issues, offensive line injuries, injuries to himself I meant earlier, inconsistent quarterbacking. Many of those things should get solved this offseason for Miles Sanders. He averaged 5.3 yards per carry last year, running behind a battered backup late in offensive line. Now, how did he fare in Jalen Hurts games? And this was where I really got myself on board with Miles Sanders in this spot. His average game in Jalen Hurts starts was 80 rushing yards, 5 yards per carry, 1 touchdown per game, 3 catches, 25 receiving yards. Those are good numbers. If I extrapolate Sanders' Jalen Hurts games to a full season, he comes out to 1,700 total yards and 16 touchdowns. Wow. That would have put him behind only Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. That's just, I'm like, oh man, all I got to do is get him to be healthy. So now, if you look forward to 2021, they have a new head coach, Nick Sirianni, who came from Indianapolis where he was the offensive coordinator. Sirianni helped unlock the big season from Jonathan Taylor. And downside, you know, Sirianni used a running back by committee approach in Indy. That'll probably be the case here. I don't think Sanders is going to turn into a 360 carry guy, but I could see an uptick happening here. Jonathan Taylor did get workhorse style numbers at the end of the year, and maybe we're going to see more of that from Miles Sanders. There's really nobody else on that roster that deserves more than like 3 to 5 touches a game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, the hate for Sanders has gone on too long. He's a way better player than his numbers showed last year.
At the end of the day, I might regret not going Kittle here.
But think you're in the second to last pick in the second round. You still could get Kittle.
I could
three picks
Kittle.
Later, and if you don't take Darren Waller, and you're pretty happy.
That was the other thing that went through my mind is I'm just as happy with Darren Waller as I am with George Kittle, so I'm not taking Kittle here.
And I'm not so convinced I would take Kittle over Waller.
I know.
It's a coin flip right now.
Because when Parks don't know the San Francisco quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
If there's a team that's going to make a big move at quarterback still, it feels like that's the one. All right, last pick of the second round.
Last pick of the second round, I went DeAndre Swift. Of course, he could have been the first pick of the third round, but I would still take Swift just if I wanted to rank the ADPs of these guys. 10 total touchdowns in his rookie year, despite only playing 13 games, only touched the ball 160 times. That's rushes and receptions again.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to see at least 100 more touches, one would think.
You would hope so.
And he's a great receiving back. He was top 10 in receptions among running backs. New head coach Dan Campbell looks to be a very run-friendly type of guy.
Who knows?
I know Adrian Peterson wants to play forever, but I'm not too concerned about him. I don't like to change a quarterback for Detroit, but when DeAndre Swift averaged over 4.5 yards per carry, when he was getting the ball, he was making things happen, and I hope to God, he gets 250 touches in his second year because he will live up to this ADP.
Yeah. The Lions' defense has been so bad for so long. I worry that much of their offseason priority is going to be on the defensive side of the ball because they need help everywhere.
They're losing all their playmakers, too. Not like Kenny Galladay was playing, but Marvin Jones will be gone.
But will they?
Yeah.
We'll find out. We'll franchise tag for Galladay is in play. They can afford it. So there is a scenario here where they keep Galladay, and they need to keep. I want the offense to have as many good playmakers as they can.
Yeah.
Losing Galladay would not help.
No,
losing Marvin Jones would not help. What's the Marvin Jones stat I heard? I think it was this: the only player in the NFL. This is a bar bet right here. The only player in the NFL with 9 receiving touchdowns in 4 straight years. The last 4 years.
I believe it. I remember Marvin Jones. I pulled a somewhat obscure stat where he was on the list of just 10 other elite guys, like guys we've talked about in the first two rounds of this draft. Yeah, he's right up there.
If you'd asked me, cold, if I didn't know this, name the only receiver with 9 or more touchdowns the last 4 years, I'd have been there a long time before he came up with Marvin Jones. A long time. It is a tricky one. All right, there you go. Our first two rounds in the books. We started touching on rookies. We're going to talk a lot more rookies as the draft gets closer and closer. We encourage you to continue listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. We hope you love the show. We hope you'll subscribe and like us. And if you have any commentary for the show, we are happy to chat with you via Twitter. More in the offseason than we are in season when we're running 1,000 miles an hour. So if you're things that you like, you agree with, disagree with, who did we miss? We talked about Kittle. We talked about Ezekiel Elliott, guys we did not take through 2 rounds. Darren Waller didn't go through 2 rounds. We'd love to hear from you on those things as well.
A guy named Patrick Mahomes.
I had Mahomes listed. You and I did this draft via shared spreadsheet. I had his name in one of these picks once. I typed in Mahomes. Then I went, no, Kittle. No, wait, Sanders.
I think you did the right thing taking Mahomes out.
It was really close.
He'll be going in the third round
for sure
in one quarterback leagues.
And
I'm not saying I agree with it, but he will be.
No, sure. I kind of do agree with it. I think people are going to, that Super Bowl is going to haunt some people. Yeah. And that's such an anomaly. Yeah. Such an anomaly for
injured,
him.
No offensive line yet. I don't want to remember anything about that Super Bowl. I'm not like I'm a Chiefs fan. Clear that from your memory.
One of the big takeaways from last year, so oftentimes guys like you and me, Brian, and many of our listeners, especially our off-season listeners, people that are listening to this podcast in February, we think we're a lot smarter than the rest of the world, and we're going to find quarterbacks late. That didn't happen this year. For the most part, those mid to late round quarterbacks didn't fare particularly well, and the big name guys did what they were supposed to do. So it was last year, at least, was a good year to just take your bankable quarterback in the early mid rounds and not assume that your, you know, your prized late round quarterback is going to end up being as good as you think. Thanks for listening, everybody. Made it through a half hour of the show. We appreciate that. We'll be back next week for more Fantasy Football Weekly.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.